Hello everyone. I thought I'd record an end of season pod on just some general ramblings. I've done this a few times before on this Spotify channel I've got. Just talking about well, various different subjects that just touched me at that point. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. If you do, then feedback would be appreciated, and sharing it would be great. Yeah, it's just going to be me talking. And it's not scripture or anything. I've written a few notes, so I'm probably going to ramble like usual. But hey, like I say, hopefully you enjoy it. I will say that my target audience here is actually the more experienced manager, I guess. The oldies amongst us, probably in age as well as just general experience. But people who've been playing the game a long time. Doesn't mean that there won't be anything for the new blood. Maybe, if anything, you listening to this, if you are one of the new blood, will kind of understand where we're coming from a little bit in terms of some of the things I'm going to address here. So might be something for you there, maybe not, we'll see. The main reason I'm recording this is pretty much I'm seeing that a lot of managers are now either taking a break or quitting from kind of my generation of playing FPL, and a lot of the reasons that they're listing and citing for why they're doing that, I'm just going to talk through. And I agree with a lot of what they're saying, and I side with a lot of what they're saying, but I just want to address it, because at the end of the day, I've lived this, really. You know, I am one of these older managers who, I did pretty well back in the day. I consider myself a good manager, not a great manager, but I did well pretty back in the day. Less people playing, doing my own research, just not as much content available, having some enjoyment in the game, and that was obviously linked to doing pretty well as well. I then went through a period of, you know what, there's too much content out there, there's too much information, everyone's teams are the same. I want to kind of beat the meta. I want to challenge myself and show that we don't have to do X, Y, Z. Now, I went through years of not owning Mo Salah, arguably the greatest FPL asset that's ever existed in the Premier League, certainly longevity-wise, and tried to compete in his golden eras of like 300 points by not even owning the guy. As you can imagine, that didn't go very well. So I just got there a little bit earlier than some people. And, I come to this point 2-3 years ago now where I was like, am I going to continue playing this game? Because I don't really like the state that it's in or it's moving towards. My enjoyment's kind of going. So what am I going to do? And I came to the decision to basically embrace the new era. It's worked out pretty well. I've realised that as much as people say they want to play the game for fun and enjoyment for me, and it might not be for you, is ultimately linked to how well you do in the game. And to do well in the game, in my opinion, you need to embrace the new blood. So this is kind of what this pod's going to be around and about. So let's get into it. So one of the reasons I see a lot of people citing for leaving. Remember, I've been around for ages, so I've got friends who are work friends, ultimate casuals. I've got more grassy friends in the sense that, and everyone knows what that term is, right? They kind of don't want to look at the data. They watch the games. They pick their options. I've got legend managers or very good managers that I can speak to that I've known for a long time, like likes of Mark Summons, etc. Then you've got the new blood, the analytics or just data driven managers, and what I'm seeing from particularly the people who are saying they want to quit the older managers and everyone in general, to be fair, is that the pricing is bad. And I do agree here that there's some things I wanted to address. So first of all, FPL has to deal with what they have in front of them. You can't will certain players and certain things into existence. And if you go back to the very beginning of the season, pricing Haaland at 14, Salah at 13.5, I think it was, or 12.5. I think it's 12.5, wasn't it? 13, I don't know. He was more expensive than any other midfielder by quite a distance. Probably pretty decent pricing overall for him. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think, was 7.5. These players are, objectively, before the game starts, your best players. And there isn't too many other options that I think you could price so highly in the game. You could argue, like, Son. But then we've got to remember the Kane situation, him leaving. He actually came off a bad year, didn't have penalties, etc. De Bruyne's just injury prone. Like, all these players that you want to be super high priced don't really exist in the game. They weren't really there. And we certainly would be moaning. I think I just want to get one thing straight. I think relative to each other, everyone should be slightly more higher to make it so that we have to pick players from teams that aren't your very best. I don't think we should ever really be in a situation where we're able to pick three Arsenal, three Man City, three Liverpool, do you know what I mean? Have a team fully of the top six. But we have to remember max engagement is the goal from FPL. You are not the target audience. You know, you're already in the game. You're already doing it. They want widespread appeal and everyone to be able to pick their favourite players. So that's not really going to change. But also, I think their hands were tied a little bit. You then add in some game breakers that there's not much you can do about, right? We've had these before, but like the Canes, the Mahrezes, the Palmer in this particular occasion. Yes, they could have priced Palmer. I think this is a general point that's quite good. Backups for some of the top teams should be priced higher, as if they're almost starters. You know, we're not going to pick them, but as soon as they become a star, then we might pick them, which is kind of the situation that we're in anyway. So why have it so they're so cheap? I agree with that part of it. But I don't think anyone saw Palmer being the highest scoring player in the game, and that kind of breaks it straight away. So there's a little bit of hindsight. I think we do have to cut them a little bit of slack, remembering max engagement is the goal here. But what I really wanted to say is, regardless of how they price the game and whatever they do, I think the enjoyment of the game isn't going to change too much for a lot of people because there is still going to be an optimal team. Now, I know a lot of people struggle with this word optimal, but what I'm getting at is there's going to be a pool of players that are better than the other players. And that's always been the case. And that is going to be, there is always subjectivity in football, agreed. But there is also objectivity in the sense that, you know, we have all these fantastic measures, bookies, spread markets, whatever you want to call it, that will say, and just general intuition, if you want to use that, you know, Salah at home to Sheffield United is more likely to score a goal than, say, Solanke, you know, away to Chelsea or whatever it is. You know, before a ball is kicked, I think the vast majority of people would go with the Salah side. You know, he is more of an optimal pick. So regardless of what the pricing is, when you tie in the fixtures as well, which is really important, an algorithm is still going to be able to pick you regardless of prices. Here is objectively the best pool of players, very close to it. And there'll be very, you know, some options that are close, but it's going to be a small pool of players that are up the best. That's regardless of the pricing. You then have the content creators who, let's face it, they are very good managers for the vast majority of them. They are also using these algorithms or data points. They're not just presenting on whims, most of them. And they are also using the fixtures. So that information, if they're trying to be competitive and be good at their job and get a good rank, which is obviously engagement, you know, it obviously goes hand in hand with how successful their channel is and their engagement, is going to be out there. And those picks are going to be available and people are going to get them. And you can't blame them, really. I mean, managers before, we go back to the oldies like me, we liked the fact that, let's be honest, we have to concede some ego here. We did our own research, as we call it, but basically we went on like Fantasy Football Scout, maybe looked at Opta, read a couple of articles, maybe watched a few games, and then we were competing against a much smaller player base and a much less informed player base. We didn't do those things, and then we did pretty well relative to those essentially not particularly good players. You can almost call them noobs, and felt we were gods. That's not what we live in now. You know, the game has moved on. We have tools, people have got better. That's just how it is. And you can parallel this to, I guess, computer gaming in a way. You know, when a game first comes out, people are scrambling around, you know, just doing whatever they want, testing whatever, you know, competing against noobs. You know, before skill-based matchmaking was a thing, you could be put in lobbies with people that were just terrible. You'd have a great game, 30 kills or whatever, think you were the god. You know, eventually you realise you might get put in a lobby with other good players and you're not actually that good. You get your ass handed to you. What I'm getting at here, the games are different and there is a meta. Okay, the meta, if you want to be competitive, will always end up, we will work it out. As the game progresses, we will get better understanding of the game. We will understand what's best. We will know the numbers. And you can go on any game here, Call of Duty, Apex, whatever it is. And objectively, you can find out that information in 2 seconds because people use all sorts of systems, programs, testing, game code to do it. And yeah, if you want to be competitive at the top level, why wouldn't you give yourself every advantage? Why wouldn't you pick the best loadout, the best gun to compete? Yes, you could be like a content creator, just be really good at the game, and you could run with some sort of niche or off-piece picks and probably do okay, do pretty well. But as soon as you put that player in a top-level pro tournament, he's going to pick the best stuff available, the best things. And it's the same way here. We're going to pick the optimal best picks. It's going to happen. We're going to be forced if you want to be competitive again with the goal of having the most points to very similar teams, regardless of the pricing, that's going to happen. So with our maybe even a new blood who comes into the game right now, kids live on their tablets, you know, it's a new world. And even if you're not a kid, you know, me, if I get an IKEA table or something and I've lost the instructions and I want to know how to build it, I don't just go on a whim and start putting stuff together. Maybe some of you do. You just pick up some glue and screwdrivers and give it a go. You'll get yourself straight onto the internet. You'll go probably to YouTube to a guide instantly on how you do it, or Reddit or whatever you use, and it will tell you how to do it. And it's the same here. If I'm picking up fantasy football, I'm going to pick up YouTube or Reddit or whatever it might be. I'm going to find out the information. I'm going to find out the meta in 2 seconds. And if I want to be competitive, this is how you do it. That's not going away. That's always going to happen. Another area I want to talk about is EO, which is linked to enjoyment. We understand the game a lot more than we did back then. We were blissfully unaware. Our players played, they scored points, we were happy. The more you engage with EO now, and because of all the things I've already mentioned, a lot of the teams are a lot more similar. Your players score points and they hurt you. You know, you have Palmer at, say, 104%. He scores a goal and it hurts you. That's obviously going to be tied to your enjoyment. And there's going to be a number of players in your team that it's irrelevant whether they score or not. So I get it. The general enjoyment level has gone down there. But it wasn't different before. We just didn't have that information available. So I think for your general enjoyment, there's some things you can do here. You can either just avoid the EO and the conversation and topics about it, because there's not much you can do about it ever anyway, or you can kind of use it to your advantage. I feel like content creators, I don't want to single out content creators, but that's how we get our information most of the time. So just general player base, I want to say, actually, or engaged player base. They don't really understand EO in the sense that they use it for fear all the time. You will literally see them say, well, you know, I don't really fancy this player, but he's going to be 80% owned, so we're going to cover that off, or I've got to cover this off, or I'm going to be covering that, and, you know, the EO is going to be high here, so I don't want to go against that. I want to swing with this. You know, a lot of the time, those things don't really matter. Expected points or expected value or whatever you want to call it, whatever metric you want to use, getting points is more important. And there will nearly always be players that have very close expected points and have less EO. So you can go down that route. You know, your variance and your risk engagement changes in that situation. But some of the very best managers in the analytics world now, who have fantastic ranks, engage heavily in taking on the lower EO option. You know, Spaceman, to name one, is right up there this season. Just, I think he pretty much sold Haaland and, you know, started captaining the likes of De Bruyne and Salah and stuff. And, you know, he finished extremely highly, but he did that to, you know, get similar EV and take on some variants and compete. And this is kind of where I want to direct those managers who struggle with the EO and the every team's the same. You don't have to go wild and crazy to the point where you're taking hits and you're bringing in players on whims. But you can disengage from EO or use it to your advantage and go from lesser EO players that also have high expected value. There is still a bit of a game there. And that's where I kind of want to point these guys towards it. And you can do very well out of that. Another area of enjoyment that I suppose, you know, people say is a reason why they don't like the game, and I get it, is the whole leak situation. Remove skill. I mean, I agree there. If you're engaged in your club, you've got a vibe of who might play, you know, you're on all the forums and stuff, you watch your team religiously back and forward, you know, you maybe have a good understanding of football and tactics, or understand managers, you know, maybe you're in a sports science area and understand the gaps and who's likely to play and who's not, and maybe you've even got injury, you know, you're like a physio or a doctor of some sort, can understand lengths of time and injuries. Maybe you're just a really good like body language reader or communicator, and you look at Eddie Howe and think, no, this guy's full of shit, and you're able to understand that. I don't know, whatever skill it might be, some of that is now gone by the fact that we're given the information, we're given the leaks. But I just wanted to point out that we are still in the area relative to the rest of the player base that has access to this information, because we're lucky enough that they actually release this information, and we're able to use it. You know, even though probably the vast majority of the engaged player base do actually get access to the league, it's still, you're still in the minority. You're still having a competitive edge there by having that information. So we shouldn't forget that. For me, it's the fact that it feels more like a job. And again, I go back to the oldies. A lot of us are at the age where we've got kids, you know, we got to do stuff on the weekends, and you know, having to be around that deadline, if you want to be competitive and take advantage of information, it starts to feel like a job. I'd rather use my ability to guess on certain situations, and I don't want to be in a situation where I'm losing out to people who have access to that information. But what I will say is, maybe some people listening to this don't know, but the deadline for FPL used to be bang on an hour before the game. So basically when the lineups came out at the exact point, we also had to used to have a lot less, or didn't have them at all, Friday night games and Saturday morning games. So you were in a situation where you could have, I don't know, six, seven teams, eight teams, whatever it might be, 3 p.m. Saturday as maybe the first games, the deadline an hour before the games kicked off, and the lineups come up at that same time. Now media have access to that 15 minutes before that. So whether you like it or not, back in the day, you were competing against a player base, or at least quite a large number of people, and I guess whoever they wanted to share it with, of people that knew the full teams of multiple teams playing. Now they knew the full 11s, and you were competing versus them. You just didn't know it. You know, the social media wasn't as prevalent. People weren't willing to risk and share that sort of information. So yeah, if you give me the option of, do you want to compete against people who know the full 11s for multiple teams, or even just the first game or whatever, or now situation, I would still take now. But it comes back to that enjoyment. It's almost the less we know there situation. And there's nothing they can do to fix this, guys, on another note, is there? There's literally nothing. There's always going to be people that know information inside the club, whatever it be, 24 hours beforehand. I don't like it, but moving deadlines doesn't fix it, is the bottom line. It doesn't fix it. And unless you're moving it like 3 days before the games even start, and they're never going to do that. People know the lineups beforehand, and they will continue to do so. I don't want to get into that, but yes, I at least side with these people saying it removes skill, I don't like the situation, but you just have to bear in mind it's always going to be a thing. It always happened, and if anything, it was actually worse in terms of the level of information that was available to certain individuals. I'm coming to the end of what I wanted to say now, because I'm starting to ramble, but I think for these managers who are thinking about quitting, you know, at the end of the day, that the old when the fun stops, stop, you know, from gambling, is a pretty good message overall. You know, if you aren't having fun with the game, you probably should just stop playing the game. You know, it doesn't matter. It's a hobby. People go through hobbies. They do certain things. They move off of them. Similar to the gaming thing again. Might play a game for a while. Don't really like where it's going. The meta gets boring. Everyone, you know, is playing a different game essentially to what we started. And I think, do you know what? I'm just not going to play that. And you might move on to another one, or you might stop gaming for a while. That's probably what you should do. But the alternative is to embrace the new game and understand that the game you knew, you know, it has gone. It's not coming back anytime soon. So if you want to carry on the enjoyment, I do feel like, you know, and I want to say, if your enjoyment is linked to how well you perform, because it might not necessarily be the same as for other people, then just wishing the game is what it was before and playing like it's 2012, it's not going to work. You're playing against very, very good players with very good tools available. And the only way it works is huge, huge variance, which is out of our control. So you basically have to embrace it. And I've done that. And I my enjoyment for the game has upped despite all those other things, because I've embraced it. I haven't dismissed it. I haven't decided that, you know, no, I'm going to fight against the machine. And that's kind of my message. You know, the fun stop. If you want to continue and have enjoyment, there's now other ways to do it. There's no point moaning about, oh, this little specific thing is going to change it, or this is going to happen. It's not going away. And as I alluded to before, this doesn't mean you just have to completely toe the line. You just have to get a better understanding, I think, of EO and EV, or expected points, or whatever you want to call it. And you can find your kicks, your differential options there, without going too crazy, and playing on whims, which is what we used to do to a large extent. The player base is too good. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed my ramblings. You know, I don't present any of this as facts. It's just my opinions and my vibes after talking in group chats. I hope to see a lot of you oldies and legends, or whatever you want to call them, next season, you know, playing the game, and hopefully sort of taking that on board. You know, I'm an oldie. I'm now a convert. and I'm having more enjoyment in the game in some respects than I ever had before. Yeah, so I salute you. Let's get on with it. Much love, people.